Jeanette, my missus, is up in near O'Hare taking an Emmett class. Okay, learning how to bop people on the head so that they might be healed. We just never get that seed faith foul, though. Got to get that. So, she's going to have to work on Luke, I know. She just texted me and said that Luke had a car accident on 65, rolled his truck. And she said he's okay. Could have been paralyzed, but he's okay. So he's hurting. So I'm sure Mrs. will be over there doctoring him. So, yeah, pray for him. Okay, Ezekiel 14. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. And I do pray and ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to this book so that we might believe what you want us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that too loud? Okay. A little bit? A little bit. Jerry, you want to put your crossword puzzle away and turn it down a little bit? Ed, would you go up and turn it down a little bit? Turn it down just a little bit. Thank you. Ezekiel 14, okay, verses 1 through 11 is probably the scariest part in the Bible, meaning that if you come to the Bible with a preconceived idea and you're trying to see if God agrees with your great preconceived idea, God will allow you to maintain your belief, and he will allow an unclean spirit to give you what you think is scripture to back up what you believe. But in order to do that, you're going to have to add a word, subtract a word, or change a word. That's what you have to do. But that's so subtle that people don't pick up on that, adding, subtracting, and changing words. And then in the New Testament, then you have to fail to rightly divide a word of truth. Okay, so that's the two lines of defense we have. So that's the warning he gave the elders of Israel, chapter 14, verse 1. And then in verse 12, he starts letting them know that he's going to bring judgment down upon the nation of Judah. Okay, the nation of Judah. He told Jeremiah, he said in Jeremiah 5, verse 1, he said, I want you to run through the city, go through the broad ways, and I want you to see, Jeremiah, I want you to see if you can find one man that executes justice and seeks the truth. If you can find one man, then I will pardon the city. Okay, so obviously Jeremiah would have been a man that met that qualification, but he was looking in execute justice, he's looking in the political figurehead and seeks truth. He would have been looking in the religious portion, Judaism, and Jeremiah could not locate one person in the governing structures of Judah and one person in the Jewish temple that met the qualifications, and then God did what he did with Judah. That's pretty sad commentary. Not one. Okay, he did say that, Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Now in Ezekiel 14, 12 and following, he's going to give four warnings. Okay, so these are warning flags that a nation will experience, especially Israel, because they're the pattern for all nations. Four warning flags that God is getting ready to judge them. Okay, and it's good that God gives us a warning. I mean, it's good to have warning signs in the highway, you know, roads curving left, curving right, and all that stuff. It's nice to have those things. And so it's good that God gives a warning. And so he's going to give the four. And these are patterns that are pretty normal. And then any nation can look at their nation as a corporate body and see if these things are happening to their nation. And then hopefully they will pray harder for their country. Okay, so 14 verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. Okay, trespassing, we all know what that means, is when you're on somebody else's property. Okay, when sin is often an act or an attitude that we commit against God, trespass is when that sin actually harms either God or man. And so in Leviticus 5, you have, in Leviticus 1 through 7, you have five different offerings laid out in the Old Testament. You've got a burnt offering, a meat offering, a peace offering, a sin offering, and a trespass offering. Those offerings typify, for the New Testament believer, it typifies salvation and our walk with God. Okay, that's how we could look at it for us in the New Testament. For the Jews, it was necessary for them to walk with God, to have those sacrifices. So he says, when they've trespassed grievously against me, he said, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. So one of the warning signs is a drought. Okay, in 1934, we had, history reveals that we had the Dust Bowls. Okay, and somebody found a sign in that sand and that dirt that was piled up like snowbanks, and has found a sign in there, you gave us beer, now give us water. And that was after they repealed prohibition. Okay, not that the Constitution is the way to go about that. That was a not a proper way to trying to go against that vice. It's interesting. I read a book by a young fella, and he said his dad used to be a bootlegger in Kansas. And so this was, you know, back in the day. And so his dad and his son were driving along. His dad stopped at a Baptist church, walked in and gave a donation to the preacher to fight liquor. And the son says, Dad, I don't get that. I don't get that. He says, we want it to stay illegal because we make more money when it's illegal, and that will help promote him to keep fighting the liquor traffic. Unusual way of looking at it. Okay, and so, yeah, that's what happened to our country. Okay, now verse 14, the Lord mentions three fellas, very unique individuals. And if a person wants a three-point outline, here you go. You could use it as a preaching. You could look at it doctrinally. Of course, we want to look at it both ways. We want to look at the Bible doctrine. When we look at the Bible doctrine, we want to be very specific and rightly divide it. If we want to look at it preaching, spiritual devotion, you can be more loose with the passages of the Bible in that fashion. Okay, nothing wrong with either one, but you do need to get some doctrine. That's what gives stability. That's what gives strength to a person's life. Okay, so in verse 14, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. In what? In Jerusalem. They should deliver, but their own souls, by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Okay, deliver their souls. Is that strictly delivering their souls from the judgment of God? Or is there something deeper here where it's also the possibility of delivering their souls from a judgment of God and to die in their sins? Okay, so in the context, you probably could say it's strictly about this judgment, and I'm not going to fuss about it. Okay, you can go that way, but there are other passages that show something a little bit different. Okay, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Okay, a very simple outline for that is Noah is a man that overcomes the world. He stood against the world, and there were billions of people on the earth at the time. I believe there were more people then than there are now. Okay, because if you just run the human growth rate, population, and then no records of wars, no record of sickness, things like that. Okay, you just run the math and double it, starting with Adam and Eve, two, give them 50 years. After 50 years, you get four. After 100 years, you've got eight. And you get that up, surprisingly, by 1,700 years, which was about when the flood took place after Adam, you're in the billions. That's amazing how quick that rises when you just start doubling that number through there. Noah is a guy that overcame the world. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching a rough crowd. Those people went arkin', is what they would call it. They go arkin', where they go out there and make fun of them while I was building the ark. And you wonder how many people actually helped them build the ark and then died in the flood. Some of them big, big burly giants. Hey there, you. Pick up this thing and put it up on top there. I mean, and yeah. How long did it take them to build that thing? I don't know, maybe 100 years? Okay, and so Noah overcomes the world. Daniel overcomes the flesh. He's a fellow that overcomes the flesh because he was offered to eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine. And he overcame his flesh and he went to a parched diet, as in lentils and beans and things like that. Maybe a little vegetarian on the side, but more or less of a high-protein vegetarian, high-protein diet. And he only did that for 10 days. Okay, and maybe a little further, I don't know, but the test was a 10-day test. So Daniel overcame the flesh. Okay, Job overcame the devil. So there's our three basic enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's almost always how we say it: the world, the flesh, and the devil, in that order. And in this order, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay, and Job actually overcame the devil in two chapters, and actually the argument was done after two chapters. He actually overcame the devil, the Job did. But then his three buddies showed up, okay, and then they encouraged him or pushed him to exalt his own righteousness, which under that covenant really wasn't a bad thing in the realm of it, except that he almost compared it to God. And then once the thing was all said and done, God said to the three guys, he said, Job was right and you're wrong. And so you better go ask Job to give a sacrifice for you. Boy, you talk about eating humble pie. Right? Okay, and so you got those three guys, very unique individuals, very amazing individuals. And just think, none of those guys had the indwelling of the Spirit. Okay, Job did not have any copy of a Bible anywhere. He had God speaking his words to him, but nothing in written material. Noah had nothing in written material. And Daniel had, quite a bit in the Old Testament. Okay, and so they had no permanent indwelling in the Spirit of God. They were did not have the new birth. Did not have, two of them did not have a written copy of the Bible. Okay, that really shows some strength of character. Okay, well, I think it's okay under the Old Testament covenant to say they were great men. I would not have a problem saying that. I don't like saying that in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, any righteousness that we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It would be better to say he's got a great God. He's faithful to a great God. But those were very unique men. Now, these men were evidently had a prayer life that was very influential. Okay, and so he says about these three men, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Okay, if you would look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this idea of a person's personal righteousness is discovered in the law Okay, and so Job and Noah both precede the law. Daniel lived under the Jewish law. But the Lord told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So under the Old Testament covenant, when a man followed that Jewish law, God would credit it to his own righteousness, that individual's righteousness, even to a point where David actually said, Lord, judge me by my righteousness. Now, you don't want to pray that in the New Testament. That's okay in the Old Testament. You better know, I think it's kind of iffy. Okay, that's why in Habakkuk 2:4 it says the just shall live by his faith. And then when Paul brings that into the New Testament, he drops the word his, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, Galatians 3, the just shall live by faith. And then in Hebrews 10, he brings it up again. But in Hebrews, he adds a PS to it. There's obviously some differences going on. A person may or may not understand those differences, but the first step is to admit the differences. That's the first step. By their righteousness. Okay, so the first thing is he will bring a lack of rain, a famine. Now, many world famines today that often America is put a guilt trip on about these famines, maybe in Africa, maybe there, maybe there. You know, why is it that the world community, when there's a tragedy in the world, be it a tsunami or a hurricane or a famine, why is it that the world community expects America to foot the bill? Why don't they expect Russia to foot the bill? Or Iran or Iraq or Egypt? Why don't they expect them to do that? It's because in their gut feeling, they know America's, the foundation of America is a Christian foundation, and they're throwing a guilt trip on this country is what they're doing. Why? They're trying to bust this nation financially. That's the intent. I just saw a video clip. Somebody sent me a video clip in West Virginia. West Virginia, I might forward it to a few of you. West Virginia guy showing this $87 million worth of apartments. They kicked the black folks and the white folks out of this area. They built brand spanking new $87 million of apartments, and they're going to bust Muslims in there. And they live in there free. Plus, they're going to pay each Muslim wife or woman that has a child $400 a month. That's what's going on in our country. Okay, and so, yeah, they're not going to stop on these things. I think it's Bible prophecy. Okay, the next thing often is pointed out in a nation is, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they shall spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Now, when we read the word beast, we often think of animals. We often think of maybe lions or bears or something like that coming through there. Could be, it could easily be the abominable snowman or something like that. You know, it could be some weird things. It could be small beast parasites. That's how Herod died. Well, that's a rough way to go. Got worms. Okay, and that's often the problem in foreign cultures. When a person travels to a foreign culture, they drink the water. This individual is not used, or he's not conditioned to the parasites of another culture. We have our own form of parasites. Okay? Yeah, we all got parasites. I mean, come on. I mean, if you don't think so, just try some black walnut tonic. You might see them come out your eyeballs sometimes. Okay? And, I mean, we all got our own, but that's also what malaria is a parasite. Okay, and so that's the problem when a person goes in another culture, and that's one reason why Paul was sick so much, because he was traveling all over the place. So a person has to be very, very careful when you go into another culture. Okay, but you have these beasts. And of course, doctors, medical doctors, they're not even going to consider the parasite thing. They don't consider anything spiritual. They don't consider anything parasitic. Okay, but that's more prevalent than we know. Noisome beast. Noisome is a stinky, smelly beast. Okay, and of course, that happens, boy, when a person gets infested with that stuff, boy, it does stink. Okay, then he repeats this idea of verse 14. He doesn't name the men in verse 14. He says this, though these three men were in it as I live. Now he adds that little phrase, as I live. He says that in 16, 18, and 20. When the Lord says, as I live, that's about like him raising his right hand, taking an oath by himself, swearing by himself. And when God makes an oath like that, nothing's going to change it. That is an unchangeable decree that has no flexibility at all. It doesn't matter what they do. That's going to come through no matter what. God has reached his limit. He's taken an oath. As I live. As I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Now, Daniel didn't have any kids. But remember what Job did? He did sacrifices for his 10 kids just in case they sinned against God. That's the kind of patriarchal system. Not a bad idea to do. Okay, and then, of course, Noah with his three named boys. So he said, just those three guys. Just those three guys. If you would, try Numbers 23, verse 19. There are some things God is flexible on. Okay, and that our prayers might influence God in those areas of flexibility. But then there are some things God is not flexible on. Now, one great doctrine in the New Testament that God is not flexible on is eternal security. Man, that's a good deal. Man, we'll take that one. Okay, so Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Okay, Numbers chapter 24, verse 21. I think this is the first, Numbers 24, verse 21, what I got here. And he looked upon him. That's not the right one. Verse 12, verse 11. As I live, where'd it go? As I live. Okay, somebody get your phone out. Look it up. That was Numbers 24, 15, 16, 17, 18. Skip it. Jeremiah 22:24. Glad I wrote that in pencil. Jeremiah 22:24. Okay, this one, Jeremiah 22:24, as I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee hence. Kaniah is his short name, like you'd have John and Jonathan. Kaniah is actually Jeconiah. Donnie, did you find it? No? Oh. Okay, so Jeconiah. God says, I'm taking my name off your name. Coniah was the last official king of Judah. And when he said that, verse 29, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. That was the official. Regina?
I think it's 1428.
1428, that does ring a bell. Ding. 14:28. That will be the first occurrence of that phrase. Saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do it to you. Okay, that's an unflexible thing. And then if you read the next verse about their carcasses falling in the wilderness, nothing's going to change that. He made that decree. He swore by that decree. And the only ones that walked in the land of Canaan was Joshua and Caleb, who were 20 years and up. So God took that oath. In Jeremiah 22, he took the oath in saying, Coniah, he's it. He's done. He's the last one. 22:5. Jeremiah 22:5. And if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. That's a swearing of the oath. Okay, there was a court case years ago I'd found, when America had some sense to it, where the court opinion was that you can't trust an atheist as a reliable witness. Because who are they going to swear to? That was a case in the past. It's amazing. It's an interesting thing. Okay, Romans 14:11 is the only occurrence in the New Testament. And 14:11 is a quote from the Old Testament. So he says, for it is written, so that would be a quotation from Isaiah 45. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. There's something not going to change. Not going to change. Every single person is going to bend the knee. Every single tongue is going to confess. That is including all unclean spirits. That's including the devil himself. Every tongue is going to confess. Now, you notice that it says, say the Lord, he says, confess to God. In the Philippians 2, it would say, confess that Jesus is Lord, which is what the devil is going to confess, but the Holy Ghost leads a person to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord in 2 Corinthians. Okay, so see Ezekiel 14:17. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. So an opposing army comes in. Okay, for Israel, Assyria was the first one to come in. Okay, they conquered the 10 northern, and then Babylon conquered Assyria, and they came in and conquered Judah. And then Media-Persia conquered Babylon, then Greece conquered Media-Persia. Okay, and then Rome conquered them. Okay, the Greece. So that's a sign of judgment. Now, Americans, we've been fortunate in that we have not had a war on our property, on our land. Okay, except you might say Pearl Harbor, but I dare say that FDR had foreknowledge of that. History does show that. And they always wanted to get Americans. You know, I was studying about that one time, and I was trying to figure out, how does an entire nation of people hate the Jews the way they did, like the Germans? How did that happen? When you read back on that, the Khazars, the Jews of World War I, if you remember that Lord Balfour declared a decree that Israel should get Palestine. It's funny how that happens in a person's life. I remember writing a book report on Lord Balfour in grade school. How do you remember about that? Well, what got Lord Balfour to declare that decree was the Jewish people, and they made a pact with England that if England will get that decree of Lord Balfour, England promised they'll get America in the war. And America got in a war and helped Britain beat the Germans. And the Germans discovered that. And that's what set them off. That's what set them off. Okay, and so, and of course, Adolf Hitler, they just expanded upon that idea. And that was the, like, the of the Bolshevik Revolution of Soviet Union. There's over 350, 360 members of the Bolshevik Party. 300 were apostate Jews. 300 of them. Okay, and that's that influence. I would say it's probably the fake Jews or it's definitely apostate Jews. And that's the hatred that took place back then. So in verse 17, an opposing army comes in. Verse 18, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Okay, or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast. A pestilence is a sickness. It's a plague. It's like the bubonic plague that came across Europe and killed like 40 to 50% of the people in Europe. And the people who were very superstitious, they were coming out of the Inquisition where the Catholic Church had a big hold on them. And they noticed that Jewish people weren't dying to the percentage that they were. And so instead of going to the Jewish people and figuring out, why aren't you dying the way we are? They said, well, let's just kill them because of the cause of it. So they got murdering the Jews because of it. And the reason why the Jewish people weren't dying as much is they practiced the sanitation of Leviticus, washed their hands under running water rather than in a basin, things like that. And instead of, why don't you learn that route? Instead of just start killing a bunch of people. Then there were also some thieves back in those days that would take this concoction of herbs together, and they would douse their whole body with these herbs, and they can go into these areas where people are dying from these plagues, and they'd steal from them right and left. And that's the herbal tincture that today you can buy called thieves. That's what that's for. Okay, and so that's what those people did in those days to try to dispel the disease. What's that? With the serpent?
Leprosy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, when the Lord made the whole army take off because they thought an army is coming in, the lepers went in stuffing themselves. Yeah, that is funny. Okay, then verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Okay, if you would, let's go to chapter 18. We'll get in a little bit more detail in chapter 18, but we'll just touch on it. This is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where in the Old Testament, when a man followed the commands of God, God would say that would be your righteousness. In the New Testament, as we're living this life, anything that we do that's right according to the Scriptures, that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ living through us. Now, when we hit the judgment seat of Christ and we're made pure in Christ, then the fine linen is our righteousness. Okay, that's with Revelation 19, verse 8. But here's the doctrine of Ezekiel 18. But when the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness. Notice it doesn't say saved man. This is a word in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Righteous versus saved. When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. Now, most folks will say, okay, he's not brought under judgment. He lives. He dies a physical death. He still goes to heaven. No, that's not what this is going to say. It says this. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Jesus said in John 8, 21, 24, when a man dies in his sin, he cannot go where Jesus goes. Can't do it. This is a person just got to say, okay, I may not understand it, but I admit a difference. And rejoice in God, you're living in the New Testament. Okay, then verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Now, a person might say, well, that's physical death. Nah, I'm not sure about that. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So in verse 1, he's talking about Israel. Okay, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, and he takes 8 chapters, and he writes to the saints of Rome. And then the immediate question comes up, what about Israel? What about Israel? Now, Paul calls himself an Israelite in Romans 11, 1. He calls himself a Jew in Acts 22, verse 1 and 2. And then he calls himself a Hebrew in Philippians 3, verse 5. Those are passages you want to remember. Because we're seeing these British Israelites and these black Hebrew guys who are going to separate the term from Israel to Jew. And they're not separate in the Bible. Not by the Apostle Paul. Jace? Acts 22, 1 and 2, Jew. Romans 11, 1, Israel. And Philippians 3, 5, Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay, so those terms are interchangeable. The one exception on that is Abraham was called a Hebrew, and the word Jew had not been brought into being yet. A Jew is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, in Romans 1, he mentions Israel. And in verse 2, Romans 10, 1, 10, 2, I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Who's that? Verse 4, Christ Jesus. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Man, good deal. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But, a contrast, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. There's New Testament. And I think that throws in the idea of Romans 1:17, where it says that he talks about the righteous, and it goes from faith to faith. Faith to faith. What faith to faith. What is that? Well, I'm only guessing on this one. I can give you what I'm thinking on this one. Faith to faith appears to me to be faith, Judaism, faith of Jesus Christ, we would call biblical Christianity, where there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Same God, but God has a pattern. He has a variation of going on, of things as time marches on. Then verse 21, he says of Ezekiel 14:21. He said, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my 4 sore judgments upon Jerusalem? Okay, so he's going to summarize the 4. The sword, The famine, the noisome beast. Okay, the noisome beast. What would that be like in inner cities? Rats? Mice? I mean, go to them cities, man, them rats are as big as cats. You know, that's why a lot of them big fancy restaurants, you go up to Chicago, they're real dark and everything. Why do they turn the lights down low? They don't want you to see the cockroaches falling into the french fries. They got to hide all that stuff. Why? It's grody up there. Okay, so they got the rats, they got the cockroaches. You know, that's, you know, if you get upset about the cold climate, appreciate the cold climate. Them cockroaches down in Costa Rica are so big you can put a saddle on them things. I mean, that's what's good about cold climate. It kills off a lot of these beasts. Okay, and so you got those beasts, noisome beasts, they stink, and pestilence. Pestilence. How's Americans and their health? Healthcare crisis? Right. That's where Americans are at. Paul, the Lord said to Israel, I'm going to smite you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And then that's where we get that phrase, he's sick in the head. He gets that out of Isaiah 1. That's a sign of judgment on a nation. When a nation really discredits God and goes against his ways and brings up idols, and you go into these, in a jungle situation, the lifespan of those people are dropping down to 40 years. I mean, can you imagine middle ages 20? I mean, when they're eating these bats and these mice and all this grody stuff, go to China. People brag about China. My sister lives there. My other sister visited there once. They asked me to come visit. I didn't want to go visit. My sister Joanne, when she got back from China, when she got to her house, first thing she did is she kissed the front and said, oh, I'm so glad to be back here. Open sewer. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, a Chinese snowplow is giving a snow shovel to about 30 Chinese people. In China, you can't drive a car more than 15 years old because they destroy them all at 15. If they have a historical building, they tear the building down, put another one right in its place and call it a historical building. It's amazing living in that culture. Oh, China's so wonderful. That's where Apple has a lot of their Apple iPhones made in China. The abuse they put on those employees is so bad that those Chinese kids will go there for the job because it's the best job they're going to find, and they're committing suicide right and left. And how they're trying to solve the problem is they put a suicide net around the dormitory where these kids are living. Oh, this dude jumps out, he's going to land in a net. China, you know, it's like, oh, the great thing. My sister was they were looking to buy a car in China, and the salesman, his sales pitch was, this car was not made in China. I mean, that was the big sales pitch. People think it's so good, and they think socialism is so good. Give these people a one-way trip to Venezuela for a while and see how they like it. Man, they just need to get out of this country and realize how good we have it. Now quit griping about things. Verse 21, he says, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more shall I when I send my four judgments? Verse 22, yet, behold, there shall be left a remnant. Thank God for that. That shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. Okay, that remnant, that's not Gentiles. That's not British Israelites. That remnant is that 144,000 mentioned in Revelation. That remnant is mentioned by Paul in Romans 9, verse 27, Romans 11, verse 5 and 6. That Jewish remnant, they're going to be the inheritors of that Abrahamic promise. That's that promise of the Lord. 23, and they shall comfort you when ye see your ways and your doings. Ye shall know that I have not done without cause. The Lord said, I'm doing this because there's a reason. I've not done this without cause. All that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. What's the cause? What's the cause? Jeremiah answers that question. Jeremiah 22, verse 8 and 9. What's the cause? It's funny, when the Babylonian army came in, and when they talked to Jeremiah, they said, Jeremiah, what do you want to do? We'll take you to Babylon, or you can stay here in Jerusalem. He said, man, I don't know why you want to stay here in this mess, but Jeremiah, we'll give you a free realm. What do you want to do? He said, I'm going to stay here. And that Babylonian guy, he says, now, I know why God allowed us to destroy this country. He said, I know why. I mean, he knew better than the Jews knew. He said, God let us destroy because they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to his word. He knew that. And that's what Lamentations writes about. The reason why God did that is because they snubbed their nose at the word of God. Jeremiah 22, verse 8. Many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every one to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this great city? Why'd God do that? They shall answer, because they have forsaken a covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. In Jeremiah 23, he put it this way. Jeremiah 23, in verse 36, he said, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. You go to the average Christian bookstore in this country, and you go to the average Christian college, what do they got in there? Perverted Bibles. American Christians are snubbing their nose at God.
Oh, you're just King James. No, you're just two King James.
Yeah, look at our country when it had a King James Bible in the 1700s and in the 1800s. You know, the first Bible that was burned publicly, the first King James Bible that was burned publicly in this country was by a Roman Catholic priest in the 1840s. He was so mad because the school in the area brought the King James Bible into the school. So he burned it public. First bonfire in America, official burning by a Catholic priest. And when this country took that book and started throwing it out and bringing all this new Bibles, then we have what? World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War, AIDS, gonorrhea, syphilis. That's the result of that. And that's why this country, or there's a common saying, it's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. And you can see where our country's going. It's right back to that jungle. May God have mercy in our nation. Okay, so we got Ezekiel 14 done. Any questions or comments when we covered? Mm-hmm.